Let's pray and get ready to dig into the Father's word. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and worship you and praise you. And I ask you for just your help. And I thank you that you do help. And I grab a hold of the truth, the promises of your word. You said that through the Apostle Paul, he wrote, you know, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think that anything comes from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from you, and you have made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter that kills, but of the spirit that gives life. Father, may your spirit and your word work together in this place today to bring life and life more abundantly to each and every person right exactly where they are at. I ask you for this, and I believe that you do this, Father, because it is your will. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, you can go ahead and get your Bibles out, get them ready. And I just thought of something we haven't done for a long time. And, you know, Sherry was talking about phones earlier, and phones can be a wonderful thing because what we're going to do next, and I know part of what's going to happen. But one of the things I like to tell people to do here at church is have your phone ready. Have it handy. You might just, you know, mute it so it doesn't ring in the middle of service, and then you'd be embarrassed and all that stuff, and we'll all point at you and laugh at you and stuff. You know, you wouldn't want that to happen. But no, we wouldn't do that. We would all end up looking at you, though, probably, and you don't want that either. But have them ready, because sometimes during the service, you never know what might happen. You know, there might be a great illustration. There could be something like that. Get your phone ready. Practice with that camera. You know, what would happen? Just think about this. Let's just say God works a radical miracle. Just works a radical miracle in the church, and you happen to have your phone there and record it. And then we put it on the internet all over the place. Amen. Wouldn't it just be wild if someday I'm preaching away and people see that I got one, you know, one digit's a little short here, and then by the end of the service, it's the length as the rest. I mean, why not? Stuff happens. Amen. He does stuff. Amen. How many of you know he fixes our mistakes? Somebody say, thank you, Father. How many of you know he's busy? But I'm so grateful that he is long-suffering and he sticks with us. But have your phone ready, and I'm going to do something here. I got on something last week, and I'm going to stick on it for a while, and it'll never really go too far away for a couple of months. Amen, David, that's absolutely right. Praise God. He's got his phone ready. He's going. I'm going to do something. I want to stick with a theme that we started with last week, and we're going to keep going for months. And with all the visitors here, this message will work for you as well. You know, even though it's going to be woven into this series that we do for a while, and sometimes the series might not look like a series, but it's all going to be tied together. And hallelujah. It's important. I want to just share that. What we're talking about, it's important. It's way more important than people have placed on it. We should give it a greater place of importance in our lives. And it's important not because I say so, because what the Word says. Because the Bible says, you know, tells us what the outcome and the results are of doing what we're talking about. And someone, well, I wasn't here last week. What are we talking about? We're talking about a verse of scripture over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, where it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And for me, sometimes scripture, you just got to stop and read it. You got to stop. You got to slow down. You got to focus on it. You got to think about it a little bit and let it have the place that it should have in our lives. So let's just think about that. I didn't mean to go here right away, but we're here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider. You know, let us. Everybody say us.
Us.
Who? Us. 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 Is anybody left out? This includes each and every one of us in this room and a whole bunch of other people outside of this room. Amen? let us do something. Let us do what? Let us consider one another. Have you ever caught yourself wishing you would have slowed down and been tuned in a little bit more to a friend or somebody in your life, because after something just miserable happened, you realized, how did I miss that? You know, and just, so it's good for us to consider one another. And how many of us, can I ask this question? How many of us like to put on a good show or a good front or a good face? Can I get a show of hands here? How many of us, when people observe us and look at us, we want them to see us at our best? Amen. We want them to see our house, our car, our stuff at our best. Always looking good. Always. And never want it to not be looking that way. Anybody else out there with me? Uh-huh. But is life always at its best? It's not. So now think about this. You're going to see people who appear to be at their best. But guess what? They're not. Because they're in the middle of something. Something's going on. And you know what? Turn and look at somebody and say, yes, I do that on occasion. Because we all do, don't we? We can do it. We can just want to look our best. That's one of the reasons we need to consider one another. Because things aren't always as they appear. Let us consider one another in order. There's a reason for this. There's a purpose for it. In order to stir up love and good works. I like to ask this question. Love and good works in who? Who are we going to stir them up in? I think it's both, us and others. But it could often start like this. I get them stirred up in me to do love and good works for other people, especially if they're in the middle of something. Amen? And we've all been in the middle of something at some point in time or another. And there's a good chance we'll be in the middle of something again. Well, Pastor, don't talk that way over me. You know what? Jesus said that storms will come. So don't, you know, just, it's, are we ready for them? So that's a lot about what we're going to be talking about. And it ties in because, guys, we as a whole are really important. And we as a whole really matter to each other. And it is a great big part of our ministry. Lots of times people, you know, they want to know, well, what's my ministry? What is it I'm supposed to do? This is a big part of it for each and every one of us, what I'm talking about. It's huge, and it doesn't get the place it should get. It doesn't get the place it should get. It gets and overlooked. I guarantee you, and I am not opposed to this, and I am not putting this down, but if my finger grew back, I'd tell people. I'd show people. I'd walk into the bank and I would let them know. You know, I got some friends in there and stuff, and I'd lose a lot of my jokes. I got a bunch of jokes that go along with this thing. They're not all appropriate for church, but, you know, because there's a problem. This is okay. This is a little iffy. Okay. I had people pointed out, hey, Pastor, no, I didn't know I was flipping everybody off. I didn't realize it. So anyway, welcome to church. No. Anyway, so see, I'd lose some of my jokes. And Ron, I'm not going to go to the one. He's up there just shaking his head. I don't think he likes my jokes. But I have reduced fingernail clipping by 10%. Okay. All right. So, and yes, that has been happening. Clipping the nails, clipping. Oh, yeah, don't have to. It happens, but people would get so excited about that, and it would get a lot of attention, right? But Diana and I saw something when we were over in Sioux Falls seeing her dad. He had had a mild heart attack and ended up in the emergency room, and he was there for 3 days, ICU for 3-4 days. And there was this young lady. She was a social worker at the hospital, and sweetie, will you come here? Because do you want to be her or do you want to be your dad? Take your pick. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Then go ahead. Just sit there then, my love. Just sit there. No, it's too late. I won't. No. I can do it. I don't have to have a... But the family's in talking to Diana's dad. And there was a lot of family that showed up. And I guess I do need... Jeff, will you be Diana's dad? Thank you, my friend. You get to be Diana's dad. And this young lady, she's probably about 30. She's a social worker. She came in and she introduces herself. And the first thing she does when she introduces herself is just gets down on her knees. She did it way more graceful than I just did. But people were there, so she got up, and she left, and she went away. And then all of the people left, and she came back. This had an impression on Diana and I. And she comes up, and Eugene is laying back in his chair. You have to get close and speak loud and clearly for him to hear. But she comes up, and she gets right down on his side. She takes his hand like this and just gets right here. I've never seen a nurse, a doctor, a social worker do that. And she spoke directly to him. And it was full of tenderness and mercy and compassion and love for him. You know what? That might not seem like a big thing. But that was huge. It was huge. It was gigantic. And Diana and I talked about it several times since then. And then the interesting thing after that was, thank you, Jeff. The interesting thing after that was I saw her in an office and she was facing the door and there was the back of another lady to the door. And I just stepped in the door and I said, I can't tell you how much that meant to me and how cool it was to see somebody go that far outside the box, outside the normal, and just love on another person. Thank you. And she just lost what she was doing. It just went away. And she goes, oh, thank you. You have no idea how much that means to me right now. There were two in a row. The little thing that I said and the huge thing that she did. Amen? So sometimes we get real excited about the radical miracles, and that's fine. But I think we ought to get as excited about the words of edification and the words of life that we minister to one another, and we can do it all the time. Amen. On an ongoing, regular basis. And here's the thing. Most of us could use it. Most of us could use it. Most of us could use it. Maybe we don't need it all the time, but there are points in time that we need it. How many of you know angels showed up and ministered to Jesus? Why? Because it was necessary. Because he needed it. He needed. Isn't that amazing? Do you ever think of Jesus as needing? We don't necessarily think of him as needing. But he had just been tempted by Satan for 40 days. 40 nights. Fasting. Well, he just fasted for 40 days. Satan shows up and tempts him. With all kinds of temptations. The reason the angels came and ministered to him is because God sent them. And then since I'm on that, how many of you know the angels are scratching their heads? I got to get this to come out right or it'll come out wrong. Scratching their heads at awe and wonder why God has such a crazy affection for us. The book of Hebrews said, the angels, you know, make this point. What is man? That you are mindful of him, God. What is man? You know what man is? We're his family. We're his children. We're created in his image. He's mindful of us. We matter to him. And therefore, we matter to one another. Amen? And what I'm talking about, you guys, is huge. Absolutely huge. Amen? Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Glad you're here. Yeah. Being here is better than being in jail. I hope so. Notice I didn't set the bar too high there. Maybe we should set it a little higher. Yeah. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, I keep going past it. Oh, I know what I wanted to do earlier and I forgot. Why don't you all take your Bible, hold it up in the air, and wave it around a little bit, you know, get your marker, and yeah, see, that's exactly what was going to happen. I knew it. Sherry, you brought it up. You started it. Here's what's happening. People are waving their Bibles around. Amen. but go ahead and wave your Bible around and say, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you what, that's a good thing to say over yourself. That, yeah, this is my Bible, and I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can, and I have what it says I have. Wow. You know what? It's worth finding out. It's worth finding out what you have. It's worth finding out what you can do. Amen. It's worth finding out who you are, because God thinks incredibly highly of you. The angels are actually amazed at how mindful of you God is. What is man that you are mindful of him? Wow. Turn and look at somebody and say, yeah, I must be special. It's okay, go ahead. Just go ahead and say, yeah, I must be special. But you know, somebody's going to say, yeah, but you don't know what I did last night. That doesn't change how special you are. That doesn't change how much the Father loves you. Amen? It doesn't. He still loves you. It's like we say, sometimes he doesn't like what we do, but he always loves us. He always loves us. Amen, Ernie. Amen. Praise God. He always loves us. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to catch the we in these verses of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. Picking it up at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4 for the verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, I'm already getting sidetracked. Did you know that there is a whole bunch of saints in here right now? Amen? Turn and look at the person next to you and say, yes, he's talking about you right now. Amen? Did you know that this room, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you are born again, you are a saint? Now, I didn't ask you if you feel like one, because I can guarantee you there are times when we don't feel like a saint. And how many of you could say there are times when we don't act like one? But how many of you know when you got born again, that sin nature was removed? The sin nature of sin was removed. The ability to sin still shows up, but the sin nature has been changed. Old things have passed away. How many of you know that verse of Scripture? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. In Christ, we're new. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Glory to God. Now, you know, we for the men, we postponed the study of the book of Revelations for the summer, and we started on Ephesians. Just go to the first chapter in Ephesians. We'll do this one. You're close. You're close. Ephesians chapter 1. And a lot of Paul's letters are this way. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the who? To the saints. Who was he writing to? The saints in Ephesus. Everybody say saints again. Saints. Okay, I want to stick on this just for a little bit, even though it's really, really simple. Did you know that Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? How do you think about yourself? Do you think about yourself the way God thinks about you? Or do you think about yourself according to religious phrases? Because here's a religious phrase that's totally wrong. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old sinner. But I am not an old sinner anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That old nature is gone. Amen? How many of you know that old nature is gone? Or you got to take that verse of Scripture and just pitch it. New creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know what the enemy tries to do to us over and over again? Tell us that we don't have what is already ours. Tell us we don't have what is already ours. What did he do to Eve in the garden? Tried to convince her she didn't have what was already hers. Amen? So why am I stopping here? Why am I stopping here right now? One, it's in my heart to stop here for a little bit. Wow. Two, if we never fully acknowledge who we are in Christ Jesus, we will never fully walk in what he has for us to walk in. And friends, this world needs you and me to walk in everything Jesus has for us to walk in. Amen. Why? Because we're going to impact other people with the love, the forgiveness, the mercy, and the power of God in other people's lives. Amen? And how many of you know God's right? God's right. So if he calls you a saint, then are you a saint? Yeah, you know, Paul was writing to the saints who were to Ephesus. What makes somebody a saint? They do just enough good works. No. There's one thing that makes somebody a saint. Jesus. Receive Jesus Christ. Receive him as Lord and Savior. And then you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, this is one of the things that I've gotten stuck on over the years. And for those of you that have listened to me for years, you know I get stuck on it, but it's worth getting stuck on. Righteousness, who we are in Christ, what belongs to us. It's really, really important. And I'll teach on righteousness. I'll teach on it quite a bit. And I've had another number of people. Wilma shared with me, you know, she grew up in church. She went to Bible school when she was 17, 18 years old, went to mission field in the Southwest and worked down there after she was in Bible school. And she shared with me that once this church started and she became a member, and that was like, what, 20 years ago about Wilma? About that? She had never heard of righteousness like it gets taught here. And it's straight from the Word. It's amazing how many people don't know the righteousness that they are in Christ Jesus. And so just think about this then. If bunches of people who are righteous believe that they're not, what happens to them when they read that one verse of Scripture that says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much? What happens to that person who doesn't believe they're righteous? They don't qualify. So then they don't believe they can pray a prayer that availeth much. They can just pray little ones. How many of you know we can all pray big prayers? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Turn and look at somebody and say, yep, he's talking to you again. Look at someone else and say, yep, he's talking about you again. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. We need to... Yeah, praise God. Y'all doing okay? Y'all glad you're here? Amen. Hallelujah. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Glory to God. For the equipping of the saints, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, tell we, somebody say we, tell we, all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we, everybody say we, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness by which men lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint, somebody say every joint, every joint. How many joints? Every joint. Just say every joint again. I want to emphasize the we and the every, and there's another word we'll bring up here in a little bit. By what every joint supplies. How many of you in here could say, yeah, I'm a joint in the body of Christ? Guess what you have? You have a supply that the body needs. Turn and look at somebody. I have a supply that the body needs. Every one of us in here. Every one of us in here. I don't care who you are. I don't care how you feel right now. You have a supply that the body needs. You bring something that's necessary for the body. And do you know what happens to the body when everybody brings their supply? Growth. Maturity. You know, we talk, and you've ever been in one of these conversations, you know, trying to fix the world's problems? You ever had one of those conversations, you and some friends sitting around having one of those conversations, what the world needs? Well, you know what the world needs? Jesus. Jesus. And it can be said in a variety of different ways. Jesus is love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. I wonder if God knew what he was talking about. I wonder if God knew what he was doing. I wonder if God knew what the world needed was Jesus. Or the world didn't really need Jesus, but that's what God decided to give. No, he knew what the world needed was Jesus. And guess who we are in the world today? We're the body of Jesus. Guess what the world still needs today? You. You. How about this? The world needs me. Do we think this way normally? The body needs me. Well, that's good right there. The body needs me. Well, you arrogant, conceited, no. Submitted and obedient to the word of God. Why do you think you're so important? Because what the Father said. That's why. That's why I think what I think. It's because the Father said. For a lot of us in here, before Jesus Christ became our Lord and Savior, and before we begin to grow in the Word of God, we used to think very low of ourselves. We used to think very negative of ourselves. And guess who enjoyed that? Satan. Anybody else in here like me tried to commit suicide? Because I wasn't important, and I didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Which are all lies from the enemy. You're important, and you matter. Amen. And you bring a supply that builds people up around you. Thus, stop and consider. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love in good works. Okay. Amen. How many of you who were not here last Sunday and when you came in the door, and this is for folks who are in the church, visitors, get if you want to, get your, you know, back home in your church, if God puts it on your pastor's heart. But this is what he's put on my heart here. How many of you, I handed you a little piece of paper. You weren't here last Sunday, and I gave you a little piece of paper, and I said, you can write your name on it, or you put your phone number on it, okay? I have a purpose for this. How many of you were here last Sunday, and you've already done it? Amen. Now, how many of you know you don't have to do it if you don't want to? Not going to make you do it. Although, when we keep reading the scriptures, I don't know why you wouldn't want to, but might be time, might be something like that, whatever. But take your name and your number, and you put it on one of these sheets of paper. And pretty soon, I'm going to have some people take these and go and collect them. Now, here's what we're going to do with them. here's what happens. We're going to collect them. And then after we collect them, when you go out, if you put a piece of paper with your name on it, take one out of a basket. This basket here is for the ladies. Okay? This basket here, yeah, thank you, is for the men. All right? So not to get confused. And the reason is, it's in part of your ministry. It's in part of doing your job. You're going to drop a sheet of paper in, men, ladies, drop that sheet of paper in with your name and number on it. And then when you go out of the church, you're going to pull a sheet of paper out. And if you happen to pull your name out, toss it back in and get a different one. Amen? But you can't stand there. We said this last Sunday, and we'll say it again. You can't stand there and say, no, I don't want them. No, you can't do that, none of that, okay? That's not all right. And then what you need to do, this is the follow-up part. Once a week, you call that person. You call that person, and you just ask them, how you doing? Can I pray with you about anything? I got to thinking, I'll just use this example that ran through my mind. Let's just say that, it won't happen, but let's just say Isaac got Al's name. Oh, man, Isaac could be asking Al all kinds of questions about his life. And you know what? Al's lived a fascinating life. And how many of us know, the more we know people, the more we're going to care about them? Amen? And that's part of what this is for. Get to know each other. And then, can I pray for you concerning something? So you'll be calling someone during the week, and someone will be calling you. And this will go on for months. And then we might, you know, throw all the names in a hat again and do it all over again and get somebody different. But folks, I'm serious about this. I am so serious because the scripture is serious. How many of you know this is a big part of your ministry? You know that verse of scripture? He has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. A huge part of your job, your ministry, is to edify and to build each other up. Amen? Turn and look at somebody and say, it's not all the pastor's job. And I'll go, amen. It's our job. It's what we do. We build each other up. Glory to God. How many of you like giving more than receiving? What a great way to give. What a great way to give. I will not forget what that young lady gave to Diana's dad. And I will not forget what she gave to us. Praise God. Absolutely awesome. And there's a bunch of you in here. You've had somebody speak something into your life in the past, and when you're in the thick of it, you will go back to that. You will go back to that over and over and over again to keep you going through the storms of life. Amen? So everybody that got one of these, you got to write your name and number on it if you want to. You don't have to. Remember that. Amen? So can we do this kind of quickly here? Men, women. All right. Okay, we're going to start right here. All right? And just make sure they go, and we'll just do this as fast as we can. I guess I could have passed them different ways, but amen. Oh, no, they already have them. I handed them out as people came in. I got that part done earlier. I improved on my plan, Bob. But I appreciate all the help I can get. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. While you're sitting there, I just want to finish with this thought this morning. What's the best way to edify people? With the truth of God's word. Remember that verse of scripture here in Ephesians where it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Just a few thoughts. What's required for growth spiritually? and I just made reference to it, I just made reference in the scripture, something that's required for spiritual growth. Truth. Truth. Somebody say truth. Did you ever hear this phrase, the truth hurts? How many of us know sometimes we need to hear stuff we don't want to hear? But how many of know we're going to speak the truth in love? Amen? How many of you know Jesus spoke the truth in love? He spoke the truth in love. We need to hear. Are we making it around? Is everybody getting it? We're going down that aisle. We're getting that one. Then we're getting that one. Amen. And then Mark and Sherry, will you two guys do those baskets this morning for me, please, when people walk out? Hallelujah. Okay. I want us to do something. And not everybody in the church has to do this right now, but I want us to, we're going to bow our heads and pray in a little bit. We have fellowship downstairs today. They've already got it, Luke. Luke, it's already been there. Yep, you were the end of the line. Amen. And then Mark and Sherry will grab them when we leave. I want to bow our heads here, and we're going to pray in a little bit. And our ministry time today is going to end up downstairs in fellowship. And those of you that are visiting, if you have the time and you want to go down, there's light snacks, things like that. We always have more than enough. You're more than welcome to join us. Love to have you there, spend some more time visiting with you. But this is what I'd like us to do as we close this morning. I'm going to pray here in a little bit. I'm going to ask you to listen in your heart. Okay, God, let me do this right now. Let me consider. Let me consider one another. Let me consider the people. Let me consider. And if, you know, I don't know as a family if you guys can stay, as visitors if you can stay. But if you're going down the road, I wanted to aim this at families. What if families did this more frequently? What if 13 and 14 and 18-year-olds stopped, thought about their mom and dad, and said, thank you. Wow. The hours you put in. I do something. I know it's cheesy, but it's just part of who I am sometimes. I periodically, more than you guys realize, thank my wife for washing my dirty clothes. Yep, for 35 years she's been washing my dirty underwear. I am grateful. Amen. And it is good. It is good to thank people for the stuff they do in our lives that isn't necessarily fun. You know, I think about it. Diana cleans the bathrooms at home. Thanks, babe. How many of you know those aren't pretty jobs? How many of you know if someone appreciates it and says thank you to you, it makes it a little easier? Amen. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Because I guarantee you, if we get good works stirred up in us and we start letting them pour out towards other people, guess what that's going to do in other people's lives? It's going to stir up good works. It's going to cause people to reach out on others. Amen? So, just be thinking this morning as we close here in prayer, okay, what can I say to somebody downstairs? What could I say to my mom and dad? What could I say to my husband, my wife, as we're going down the road today? What is it that I could speak life and edification and exhortation to them? How is it that I could do my job in ministry and minister to my family? Amen. We can just stay seated. Worship team, sweetheart, if you guys want to go forward, I'm just going to let us pray as we're seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. This is a crazy question, and I'm not just asking it for the visitors. I ask it every Sunday as we bow our heads, as we get ready to pray. So with your head bowed, eyes closed, how many in here just, you know that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just slip a hand up right where you're sitting. Just slip up a hand. See, I want to make sure if you're here and you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, I want you to know for sure before you leave this building today. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Father, right now in Jesus' name, as we get ready to end this service this morning, as we get ready to bring this to a close, the greatest question that will ever be asked of any of us was just asked. Is Jesus Christ your Lord, your Savior? Jesus put it this way when he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And then he got more direct and more personal with them, and he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And I just present that question to each one of us today in this place. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? Is he who the Scripture says he is? Is he the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world? Is he the sinless man who walked the face of this earth and died on a cross and took your sins away? Is that who he is to you? He did that for you. Have you accepted that? Have you received him, your forgiveness, the gift of salvation? And you don't receive that gift by being good enough. Truth is, none of us were, none of us will ever be without him. But when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, sins are washed away. They're thrown as far as the east is from the west. The sea of forgetfulness placed behind God's back. Forgotten. God forgets them. And we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. All those old things passed away. If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, he's waiting. He's seeking you out. He wants you. He wants you to receive him. He loves you. So if you're here today and you've never received him, before this time is over this morning, come visit with me. I'll be in the back and I want to talk to you. And then, Father, as we get ready to go from here and we get ready to go downstairs and have fellowship, and some people need to get on the road, that will take to heart what you had for us today, and that is to speak words of life and to help each other grab a hold of who we are in Christ Jesus, to submit to the truth, to submit to your love, to submit to your forgiveness, submit to your healing, to submit to your mercy and your grace, that we'd stop resisting, we'd stop believing lies of the enemy, and we'd just accept the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ. And help us build each other up in those truths, God. I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and stand up. And you can sing along for a little bit. And when you're ready and you need to slip out, you can go ahead and slip out. You can make your way downstairs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.